Jonathan, hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.
Hello, ladies and gentle phones. Welcome to this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo. What the bloody heck are you laughing
at? Oh, it's me. I've cocked up, as ever.
What'd you do?
There's a surprise.
Do share.
You didn't need the signal, put it that way.
No, I made a mess of it. Never mind, carry on. It's only Christmas.
I don't have the bandwidth to actually watch the video back, so that's got right. No video coming here. Flying blind. Oh, yeah, welcome to this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have you back on board. It's great to be here, and we've got a lot of actual little things to go over today. We got a little bit of news, and we've got our top 10 picks, I guess is how you want to put it. Is that how we're putting it, Ewan? Because I completely forgot about what happened.
I don't know if we're going to get 10 each in the time for the cameras, but it's a lot. We'll just do... I've just done kind of like picks for auntie, picks for kids, picks for myself.
Picks. Picks all around. Speaking of all around, we have our all-around panel back with us. We'll start off with Chris Follisman in Chicago, where it sounds cold, and you sound like you've got one yourself there, Chris. Been a rough week.
Well, first of all, it's snowing.
Oh, cool.
We got our real snow last night.
That is your Oprah tax dollars at work, just so you know.
Oprah making us snow!
That's right!
I don't have a cold. Gene McDonald from Smile Software was here in Chicago this week, and we went to karaoke last night.
Oh,
and I, as usual, overdid it.
So did you introduce your little iPad app to him?
No, they have their own setup. It was at a karaoke bar, so.
In case people don't know what I'm talking about, that was on the back show last.
Yeah, they have their own equipment. They didn't need an iPad. No.
Great to have you back on the show there, Chris, in snowy Chicago. As I rub my eye, we'll move over here to you and Rankin. We know how you're doing.
Hello, mate. I'm fine. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm Paris this morning. I've had a little girl lying across my arms while I was trying to type, which was fun, which is why the Daily Show was out late this morning, but...
Yeah, that's multitasking.
And it was 10 minutes long.
Yeah, I know. I noticed today. It was a good show, though. You've got loads of news. You've got Santa that called you and Bugsy in the middle. And then at the end, you've got like this whole little BBC presentation.
Well, you've got to, I mean, the top 40 countdown, mate, to Sign of the Symbol is just ingrained in British culture. Fluff Freeman, even though he's Australian. Honorary Brit.
No, it was pretty good. It was a good show this week, and it was well worth the 10 minutes. It didn't feel like 10 minutes. It's like a good song.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'll tell it as a compliment.
Yeah. And last but by certainly no means least, Alex G-Man Fox is back with us, who has been ordering stuff this week, I hear.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. Okay. You've made it official now. Quiet.
Sorry.
Anyway,
no getting out of the credit card bill.
Exactly. Chris, we've had real slow here loads of times. I'm surprised it's the first time.
What's that?
You said we got our first real snow. I was thinking we've had real snow here loads of times.
Well, first real snow of this winter.
See, that's what happens. It's the translation thing again, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It sounds like English to English translation. I know it's a little weird, I know.
Yeah, I speak American.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This week in photography news, gentlemen, if we shall get to it, I don't know what on earth to really start with. You know, we've had some news, but it's not been the big news week. We're getting towards the end of the year. We're seeing basically what you'd like to put under the tree, and we're going to get to that later in the show. The first thing I think I actually want to open up with, guys, is the CFA has announced the XQD memory card format. Of course, all of you obviously use, and it's pretty much the standard format, which is the memory cards, compact flash. That's what I'm trying to say. And obviously, it's not really changing the format, but they're introducing a new format. I mean, it's like, here we go again. We went from floppy to zip drives to this. is this just another, are we going to see this added on to cameras here pretty soon? Is it going to cost us more in our cameras? And do we really need it? I'll start off with you on this.
I welcome it. I mean, if you go back 18 months ago, I sat on the Computer America show with Carrie Holtzman, and I said, inside the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see a camera that when you press the shutter down, it will take not video, it will take continuous still shots at full frame. So you'll get full resolution, 4,000 by 3,000. If that's going to happen, though, we're going to have better processors, bigger buffers, and you're going to have better capture cards that have got better write speeds. And at the moment, you know, we're edging slower and slower and slower towards that kind of point with the capture card speed. This doesn't get it the whole way there, I don't think, but it's an awful lot closer. You've got dual core processors coming in cameras now, so the media has got to catch up. The only thing that really pisses me off about this is why they can't just keep the format the same, because cameras have got a fundamental layout of it's a compact flash or it's an SD or it's a compact flash with an SD secondary, and I that's worked for a long time now, and I think the change in form factor is a bit of bull to wheedle a bit more money out of us and get us to buy more cameras, and that pisses me off.
Okay, go ahead, Chris. I feel like you've got something on the tip of your tongue.
I think I agree with you and it. I wonder if there was a way that it could have been made, like somehow backward or forward compatible with the same physical format and the same pinout. It's hard to say, but they've moved from the PC-MCIA format that Compact Flash was based on, and you have to remember this, that was developed
it's old.
I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. It's an old standard, and they've been pushing it, with this Ultra DMA, these new Ultra DMA modes, and now it's up to like a theoretical maximum of 167 megabytes per second, although in reality it doesn't quite approach that, but the XQD is going to be based on PCI Express, which is the same thing that that Thunderbolt is based on, and that all the internal connections in your computer are based on. So there's a lot of room there for really fast transfer speeds, and there's the Compact Flash Association is saying that they're going to be at 125 megabytes per second write speeds. Yeah. Right out of the bat, and then theoretically they should be able to ramp that up as high as 250 megabytes per second, and then as PCI Express standard matures, they can ramp that up even higher. So it's sort of more kind of like a reboot for this new setup is like this is going to take us much farther in the future,
right?
But
go on.
I was just going to say, I agree with you, and it would have been nice if they could have found a way to make the, physically compatible.
It's got to be more or less, though. I mean, it's got to be, first off, it's like you said, the evolution of things. And who actually, Alex is the one that actually probably knows a lot about the evolution. You've got an evolution of cameras that you kind of keep around you that you still use.
Yeah, his first camera was an Amoeba.
That's right. But you've seen this, Alex.
Yeah.
He came out of the primordial silver nitrate.
I know. Exactly. He was the first photographer to up. He was the first photographer to walk upright. We all know that, but
yeah, it's all gone downhill since then. Right. Firstly, form factor wise, I completely agree. I mean, I'm sure I remember this right, but Compact Flash was based on the tiny little hard drives. I can't remember what they're called, but they were the things that fitted in the little cases that you then turned into Compact Flash. It was a minute hard drive.
IBM micro drives,
that's what they were called. Mm-hmm. And so that came first, and then they made the form factor of Compact Flash because of it fitted in the same pin slots, and they were just interchangeable. And the only reason I could see them not being able to do it is if the form factor was bigger. But if you've got something smaller, you can always put it into a bigger box. That's not an issue. And if it's that much smaller, if there's any sort of cross wiring that needs to be sorted out, well, you could do that inside the unit. So as far as that goes, it's a nonsense and they need to sort it out. And secondly, I sort of see it as, you know, when you work for a big organization and you get a promotion and you go up a level, well, you're like a level one and you can go from A to C. So you've got a pay scale A to C. So this is like level two. So it's going to start off at the bottom of level two and it's going to enable, you know, you've got 10 years of movement within this level. So that's sort of what they're doing. They're making a plateau at the top end of the theoretical for Compact Flash, and they're starting at the bottom end of this. And with everything else going external, like Thunderbolt and USB 3 and all that sort of thing, they really need something that you're going to be able to transfer at the same rate as you're going to be able to input. So that's sort of the way I see it. And for the cameras we use, it's not so important, but so many video cameras now are taking something that resembles Compact Flash. So, you know, it's the logical step. I think, again, it's the, well, let's just screw as much out of them as we can. And what are you going to do? You're going to have three slots in the back of a camera now. You're going to have SD, Compact Flash, and this new one.
I think the only problem that you've got to say with it, though, is I mean, I'd like a faster capture speed, and my camera will deal with a faster capture speed than the Compact Flash card that I've currently got. But there's a logic in it of if I'm going to go past my current capture, then I want to go to this card. This card will be far superior to anything my camera can send. Therefore, why not kind of draw a line in the sand and start with cameras that can cope with that transfer speed and a new form factor for the cards? But I think that there's probably got to be cameras out there at the moment that could probably do 125 megabits a second, I would have thought.
Well, especially burst rate, they definitely could, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I just don't see that's where it kind of, they lose me a little bit. But there's also the issue of pins, as Chris kind of alluded to. You know, if the pin configuration doesn't mean they can achieve that speed, because, you know, basically you're still talking about copper, aren't you? It's a tough one.
Yeah. Does anyone else think the name is stupid?
Yeah. It's not catchy, is it?
XQD.
That's right. It's exquisite. It's now. It's the future.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, but it's inevitable. I mean, really. This is technology, and it creeps into all of our lives, regardless if it's MP3 players or if it's cameras. So
yeah, but I mean, this is the thing. I'm kind of okay with the evolution. I'm okay with the change of the form factor when it's necessary. I just don't want to change form factor because someone wants to hump me. Which is what it comes down to.
It's definitely a theme in that with you, isn't it?
I've said hump a couple of weeks now, I do admit, yeah. But
it's coming up to Christmas. Maybe you'll get your wish.
Bar hump bug.
Hey, speaking of that, Rankin, I was gonna ask you, and I was looking at the video now. Is that a giant Mountain Dew can by you?
No, this is the new chroma key wall.
That's cool.
Look at that.
I figured that's what it was. I just had to have a smart-ass comment.
You don't know how friggin' expensive that was, dude. I'm serious.
£12.
No! Dang! It's bloody chroma key. You nearly made me swear then as well. It's chroma key, you bugger.
Yeah, I know. What is it, like £120? It's a little can, right?
I'm not saying. It's a little can, what?
Get yourself a crap camera, then it won't pick up the imperfections anyway.
I thought you were going to get paint. That's what I was told a couple of weeks ago.
No, it's a bit of green card, you cheeky git walker.
Oh, it is £12 then.
Hello, Steve, and also Claw in the chat room. Ewan would have to edit Ewan. Thanks, mate.
Oh, poor Ewan. On with more news now, guys. Chris, you wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, I think. It may not even been that long ago, about smartphones killing off the compact cameras. Well, there's new research showing that sales growth is not declining, that smartphones are not killing camera sales. What do you say to Amy Davis over at TechRadar?
I don't care. Honestly. I mean, do I think smartphones are going to impact compact cameras? I do. Do I think that a smartphone can replace a compact camera for a lot of users? Absolutely. you know, if they want to buy a compact camera anyway, go right ahead. Go for it. I mean, if it works for you, it works for you.
If it doesn't, it doesn't. Alex, yeah. Does this... we were talking about this pre-show, Alex, and you said good about, you know, that it's not killing the compact camera.
Well, I've sort of got this theory, right? And it could be nothing. It probably is nothing because it's a theory of mine. But, right, you've got look at it this way. You've got people that used to buy compact cameras and now they've got a nice iPhone 4S, right? And then they go out and take pictures. But you've also, and so maybe they'll think, well, I don't need to update my compact camera. This will do. But you've also got the other people that have never actually owned a camera of any sort. And they've got an iPhone 4 or iPhone 4S, and they've actually got into taking pictures. So some of these people, just by the very fact that there's so many of them, might think, oh, is there something better I can get? So maybe there's all, with the amount of people that are disappearing from buying them, there may be a few that are coming into it for the very fact that they're being subjected to photography for the first time. So maybe the two things are balancing themselves off. It might not be the same people buying the cameras, but the levels stay the same. So that's just a theory that I came up with. So maybe it's nonsense, but it's something.
No, I like that.
Yeah.
I like to think that, whether it's true or not.
It's why they call it a theory.
I mean, exactly. We're in the season of Panto. It'd be a good Panto story, if nothing more, would it?
Well, it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
What's your theory, Rankin?
My theory is pretty much along the lines of the fact that I think with when I did the article that I put out on PC Pro the other day, one thing I looked at was the shipping figures. So I mean, you know, generally speaking, they've got this idea of global market supply down pretty well, and they've worked out when to send bananas so they arrive ripe and all that kind of thing. And shipping values tend to mirror the projection in the market reasonably well, and compacts are slightly down, but not very much. SLRs, you know, 18% up on last year, and these figures that she's talking about echo that exactly. You know, compacts are holding their own, if a little bit down, but SLRs are on an increase, and I think that's a nice thing, to be honest. I mean, all the people that go buy that call themselves a pro and take work away from me and Alex, I've got a problem with, but you know, more people doing better levels of photography and learning, I'm all for. It's whether they learn or not.
What? Don't you think, though, Ewan, that the reason why DSLRs are on the rise, though, is because we're getting into this age now where it's so readily available. Like, you know, I always go back to music because it's the first thing I can compare it to. But we can go now and get a Porta Studio. We can do pretty much what they do in a recording studio in our bedrooms now. Isn't photography kind of getting the same way with Photoshop, with less expensive cameras and the age of technology with computers and all that now? I mean, don't you think that's why it's on the rise? People think they can go pro without maybe actually being in the quote unquote pro realm.
I think there's a certain problem in the fact that if people don't like music, if it's produced badly or if it's a crap song, they won't buy it. But people are buying crap photos, and they're buying crap photos because they can crop them and hack them around and digitally manipulate them to fulfill the stock market and those kind of things, that stock image market that me and Alex would have made money from years ago. I mean, go back 10 years and I was making probably £1,000 a month out of stock image work. I haven't made a penny out of stock image work in 6 months. You know, and that's when I started off and registered online with digital stuff. I was one of 1.3 million images. I'm one of 36 million images now. And a lot of those are absolute crap. But having said that, most of the images that I've sold are just crap that I've thrown on there thinking, well, someone might buy it. And they have. It's a picture of some sausages one Sunday morning roasting under a grill, and they want them, you know. Thanks very much. I'll take the 275 quid for that.
You had a comment there, Chris.
Well, someone made a comment to me last week or the week before, I can't remember exactly, but they were saying that maybe with more people using their smartphones to take a lot of pictures, you know what I mean, like on Flickr, the iPhone 4S is already like the most popular camera on there.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are taking all these pictures. Someone suggested to me, like, maybe it'll actually create a greater appreciation for what professionals do. you know, if people are taking all these snapshots with phones and they're like, oh, I really like him, blah, blah, blah. But then when they see what can be done with, you know, what a professional can do with real professional equipment, quote unquote, you know.
But I think there's a little kind of a, sorry to cut across, Chris, go on.
No, I was just going to say, like, maybe, you know, maybe there will be like, there'll be more casual photography, and that will create a better appreciation for what a professional can produce. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I think it's what the market will stand in a lot of cases. And if you look at mm-hmm. you know, Asda have got some cushions with one strobe and someone that they've showed, right, just point click here, there you go, put it out on the printer, and they produce an image which is utter rubbish, but someone wants a picture of their kid and it's a fiver. I can't compete with that. I'll never compete with that.
I refuse to.
Well, exactly. I mean,
but there is 2 points with, say, some of these DSLRs, the way they work, especially sort of the lower in entry level ones, because they go from more or less fully auto to fully manual. I think it helps people that have a basic interest learn photography. Mm-hmm. Because it gives them a stepping process. In the old days, you weren't going to go and buy, in the old days, film was very expensive. You weren't going to even go and buy a roll of 35mm and play around and see what you got. It was just, you either were scared of cameras or you were into them enough to make the investment. But nowadays, right, you don't have that issue. You can make an investment and the camera will lead you by the hand from being completely auto to being completely manual. And another thing about all these photos everywhere, I think it's actually made me up my game a bit. I think it's made me make sure I never put out something, especially, I mean, work-wise, that I'm not completely and utterly happy with, because there are people out there. If I put something out that isn't what I think is better than most people can do, then all it does, it means someone else can come along with a picture and say, well, look, that's as good as what he produced, and he charges you X amount for it. So I think it's actually made me up my game a little bit. I'm not sure how that's relevant, but that's what I think.
No, I think it's very relevant. I think it's a way of it of being inspired, I guess you could say. And if it's always a way to be inspired to produce better by seeing crap, then why not?
Let's stop crying in our beer and move on, eh?
I'm trying to decipher this DM that Ewan just sent me.
Yeah, you sound like you're on your webcam, Mike. That was all, mate. You didn't sound like you're on your proper job now. Never mind. We'll sort it for Mac.
It makes me sound.
No one listens to Photo. Don't worry.
As all three of you go off to Mac, but I don't.
That's not true either.
No, it's not true. All right. Move on.
Carry on. I'm already upset.
I think this is one story that I think we're going to cover a little bit here, because we've talked about a lot with law enforcement and these kind of things going on right now. This happened in your neck of the woods there, Chris. 75 years for recording the police. did you see this?
I see it now.
Okay, good.
Honestly, flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, what a load of crap.
Paid for that too. Your city taxes paid for that, dude.
I know. Oprah. Well, thankfully, you know, the judge tossed the case and tossed the law and said it was unconstitutional, because it is.
No, that's the problem. Is they've appealed.
Well, yeah.
No, but
now I'm gonna have to write angry letters.
Yeah, too right. I am.
I'm gonna have to go down to Springfield.
The thing that
and take a dump on someone's car hood.
No, the thing that got me about this is if there.
Go on, sorry.
Are you going to film that?
Make sure there's police in the background.
Right. Yeah. If I'm going to go down, going down swinging.
No, I mean, the dude getting arrested for filming something is wrong, but there's a debate around that, at least. Getting prosecuted for it, there's a debate around that, at least. The 75 years in prison for it, well, that's just plain ridiculous anyway, fair enough. But there's still the debate around the prosecution. But when someone has thrown it out, for the state to then appeal that decision after it's been thrown out as completely the wrong thing, which every right-minded moral individual knows it's the wrong thing, for the state to then spend the taxpayers' money appealing appealing the decision, I find repugnant beyond belief.
You're the only one that read the story, aren't you?
If you can go further than repugnant.
You're the only one that read the story.
I am.
What's the opposite of that? Democraticant.
No, not Republican.
The story says that he was videotaping the police in accordance with the extremely strict law as it was. He was actually following the law in the first place and still got arrested.
Mm.
Well, you have to following the law, otherwise he couldn't have recorded them.
They were in public. They were in the high street. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But we're all facing this now. We had a thing. I seen you tweet it this week, Ewan, about... And maybe it was relevant, I don't really know, because I don't live there, but about being on the tube, or being in where the tube is what it's quote-unquote called in.
Yeah, that was Aldwych, wasn't it? Aldwych Station said no DSLRs. Yeah.
And you agreed, but you agreed with that.
Well, Aldwych is closed to the public anyway. The London Underground is a private establishment, if you like. It's not public transport in the truest sense. And the Aldwych Station is used as a historic kind of museum-like, in inverted commas, location. So as a museum, I think, you know, people get a bit twitchy about articles being of high value being photographed and then reproduced from those photographs if they're in high definition or flash photography damaging things that's down there. Having done some work many, 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 many years ago for London Underground, I did get to see one of the old tube stations when it was steam powered that was next to an active mail system that used to be down under London as well that mirrored the tube system, which they don't use anymore. And in the station, this Victorian station, there were tin posters that were 10 foot by 12 foot. Stuck to the wall on the curve of the walls, they must have been worth an absolute fortune. You couldn't physically reproduce them as art now, let alone perhaps an advertising poster. And they'd be worth an absolute fortune, and they'd be worth something to somebody who enjoyed the art of them. So I kind of got that a bit more. I wasn't horrifically upset by it all, but it just shows a naivety and a stupidity associated with just banning a camera that's got a switchable lens on it. Because, I mean, you know, 14 megapixels and probably actually with a built-in flash that compensates far better than someone would get with a through-the-lens metering flash on the top, or at least as well as someone could get extremely good photos down there.
There's one thing I've got to say to Alex, because I've never got to say this in public before. How many times, Alex, have you been approached by a Bobby?
How many times have I been approached by Bobby? Is this work related or just personal?
Never, but
no.
But a few times by Kevin.
Hey, yeah, I mean, the only time I have got in trouble for recording the police is when I borrowed Don't Stand So Close to Me from a friend and my mum caught me.
You'll be here all week. Tip your waiter.
Oh, yeah, I will be here all week. That's the trouble.
The both of you?
I think I pains me yet again to say this, but I do sort of agree with Ewan because of
it's been a good 3 months, really, isn't it, for me and you?
Yeah, it's not been bad.
Should we hug?
Virtual hug. Somebody grab
I can
a
go
camera.
That way, can't I? Yeah. The fact is, as Ewan said, this is a museum situation, and one of the things that keeps a museum or keeps people interested in the museum is the fact that they have to go there to appreciate it. And as soon as you don't have to go somewhere to appreciate it, it shuts it down. In a funny way, what's the difference between the conversation we had last week about going into a shop and asking for their expertise and then buying it from Amazon? Eventually, you're going to shut the shop down. So if you can go into any museum you like and then record it, you'll never have to go back. Half the people that you introduced to it won't bother going because they've seen all the pictures already.
How many years till Google Museum View then?
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was about to say. Now we're getting Google realm.
I had a bit of a museum shut for me a couple of months ago to photograph some stuff. And when they reopened it, because I normally walk around museums sort of just paying attention but to what I'm looking at. But because I was there working, when I was finished and they reopened it, all these tourists come flooding in, and they only came into this particular gallery because I'd had it shut. They didn't care what was in it. There just must be something interesting because they weren't allowed in there. But every one of them, without, you know, no exception at all, pulled out DSLRs and started photographing all the pictures on the wall. And everywhere was no photography pictures. Now, the fact that none of them seemed to know what they were doing was probably the only saving grace. But I was there photographing stuff, being paid to do it. If they'd known at all what they were doing, they could have probably got a fairly good reproduction of most of the paintings on the wall and
yeah,
gone home,
and sold out,
made a poster of it and flogged them. Just the fact that they were all incompetent was the only saving grace. So I do actually see the point in saying, no, you know, bring your iPhone if you really have to, but no, don't bring a tripod and the satellites and a, you know, a 10x8 camera, because it's a bit much, you know, and that's the equivalent.
Basically, what you're going to say is Google's going to kill all of us.
Well, that or Facebook, one of the two of them.
They are Skynet.
Question in the chat. Just a question in the chat room. Is it illegal to photograph police officers who are active in this country? The answer is no. If they're in public and you're in a public space, or they are viewable from a public space, then generally speaking, you can photograph them. But what the law says about photography is whether the person has an expectation of privacy. So it doesn't say private place. So you could be in a relatively public place, but even in a private, or even in a private place, if the person has no expectation of privacy, say a nightclub or something, they could still have a problem. You could still have no problem shooting them in there. The story is Callum Best. He got a photograph, but he was in a private room in a nightclub, and they said the photograph in the nightclub was not a problem, but the photograph in the private room in the nightclub was, because when he went in the private room, he had an expectation of privacy. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Tune in to the next Begletech Law.
Yeah, I'll give you answering the question.
No. It's a good answer. It's a good answer.
Just as an amendment to that, really important amendment to that, Ewan is 100% right about photographing the police in normal circumstances is okay. But do bear in mind that they tend to give you a hell of a lot of hassle if you do it. So if you're going to do it, try and do it secretly.
Record it.
Record them beating you up and taking your camera off you.
Mm-hmm. And I know in Chris's neck of the woods in Chicago, you can't photograph Oprah until what, February or March, and then if she sees her shadow.
Is that when her diet finishes?
I don't know what it is with me.
I don't know what is so funny about Oprah to you guys, honestly.
Tony Oprah.
I don't know. Oprah's from Chicago and Chris is from Chicago. Let's make fun of Oprah every time.
That's right.
Got to. Well, we're not taking fun of you, are we, sir?
Cool, those bears, eh?
No, we want Chris to come back. So, normally, this is the time of the show where we'll start doing some questions, but this week we're going to do a little twist. We have, I guess, cool things for Christmas. You guys have put something together. We'll just kind of go around the. Yes, we'll go around the table here, the virtual table, the green wall, as you would say, Ewan. And I'll actually start with Alex on this.
Yeah, because he's the one that did his homework.
No, I did.
Yeah, you actually compiled a list.
I've done it.
All right, let's start. Okay. Right, now the question was about cameras, and I had a chat with you, and I said, look, you're all going to do cameras, so I won't do only cameras. I put a few little extra, shall we say, stocking fillers to go with your cameras. So my first one, which is something I own, and I think it's a real must-have for any aspiring learning their trade photographer, is, let me read it, it's exactly that. It's called an Expo Disc. And I have talked about it before on the network, but all it really is, it's a piece of glass that you hold in front of your lens to get the correct white balance for the area that you're shooting into. A lot of them are reflective white balances, so it means you've got to put something in the way and get a reading off it. This just, because of the way it messes the light about a bit, you can get a reading directly from this put in front of your camera, and you should get much, much, much better color reproduction and tonal reproduction after you've used this. You keep it in your camera, you use it whenever you change the type of shot you're taking. And I mean, it's fairly expensive at sort of £90 for, you know, that's the registered replay or whatever you call it, the retail price. But I mean, I think I paid about 50 for mine. But for any aspiring photographer, it's a very good Christmas present gift.
Can you stick it in front of your iPhone?
There's no reason you couldn't, apart from the fact that you can't take a white balance reading from it, but you could stick it in front of your iPhone if that's what you wanted to do.
Sweet. All right, give us your second one. We'll do two apiece. We might run out of time. Two apiece. Give us your second one.
Okay, two apiece. My second one, my favourite one here was actually, yes, it was. It's a monopod. But the thing about this monopod I like, and I have ordered it, it's also a walking stick.
You old fart.
Oh, well, you know, I do a little of a bit up in the mountains and wandering around. You know, it's a really nice little gadget. And what is really amazing for this, it's a sturdy walking stick monopod. You know, it's got the silly little compass and all that sort of business in it. And it's £9.39.
I was impressed with that.
And I can't believe you can buy a monopod for that, let alone a walking stick. So
the only thing I can't believe at £9.39, Alex, is it's going to support anywhere near my weight.
Maybe you need two of them.
It'll be a mono hook by the time I'm finished.
As for us mere mortals, it's probably just about enough.
Now, go on, do another one. Do us your compact and your SLR pick as well.
Okay, all right. Well, the compact I went for, let me just check it out here. It was the Samsung, and what's it called? It's the MV800. And the reason I liked it is it does all the things we always say, oh, don't get a camera for. But if I was going to buy a present for someone that wasn't really into photography, this has got every gimmick that would keep them interested. So, I mean, we as professionals, we don't want all this rubbish on it, and we don't want this sort of sliding iPhone-y back thing, and you can pick all these icons and play around, and the back twists, and you do all these remarkably clever and silly things, because we don't want this. But if I was going to give this to my 14-year-old, this is exactly what he'd want. He'd want it to have every gadget, every filter, every tiny little thing that you'd never thought you ever needed built into the camera. And it's pretty, it's silly, and it's a perfect gift for somebody that just wants a camera that they can play around with. So I pick this one for the fact that it's not a professional camera. I won't bother with the DSLR because that's just a Nikon and everyone knows I like Nikon. just to let you know, it was a Nikon 5100 because I've recommended it and everyone really likes it. And my bridge camera was the Fuji FinePix S4000. It's a 30x optical zoom. Everything about it is silly and completely over the top, but if you want one camera to fit every need that you'll possibly ever need and just do it relatively well rather than brilliantly but relatively well for £150 in Amazon, I don't think you can go wrong, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I agree. That's a great price on that camera, and from what we've reviewed on the show and looked at, It is a good camera, you know, for somebody that's probably actually somebody in my shoes that takes iPhone photos all the time. This would be a good camera to actually upgrade to. Yeah. I like that camera. Good stuff. Good stuff, Alex. Chris, have you got any rabbits in the hat?
I do. I have to admit.
No, he doesn't.
But I'm going to admit.
Yeah, go ahead and let him.
He's thinking hard.
But
do you want him to come to me first, Chris?
Shh. I have become enamored with the Photo JoJo store. You guys familiar with this?
I haven't become enamored. I've become bankrupt through it.
But this store is just full of all kinds. Some things are just really cheap and little. Some things are really expensive, but they're almost always just clever in some way. Like, just really clever.
I was going to say, you were going to say it's full of crap. It's a photo joy, so it's full of crap, as in full of stuff, but it's not crap. It's all buyable.
Yeah.
It's fun crap.
Oh, not but even that.
But I mean, even some of the silly things I think are I mean, I have one of the. They have this little fisheye lens that it has just like a little iPhone. It's got like this little like gel on the back of it. That's like, I don't know if you guys remember this toy in the 80s. Was it called a Wacky Wall Walker?
No.
That
fell down the wall. Yeah.
Yeah, it came in like the box of cereal, and you throw it against the wall, and it would like stuck to the wall. It has the same kind of like kind of just slightly sticky plasticky gel material in the back, and you just stick it on your camera phone, and you know, you have a fisheye lens, and it's like $10, and the pictures are not sharp, but But it's fun. I was in New York a few weeks back, and I picked one up at the International Center for Photography. I was just goofing around in their store, and I was like, well, I have $10, and got one. And took some really fun pictures in Times Square with the fisheye, because I could get like all the buildings in the picture at once. I mean, and that's just an example. Like, that's like a silly, inexpensive thing they have, but it was still, it turned out to be really useful. But they have a little do-it-yourself kit to build your own twin lens reflex camera. They have like camera cookie cutters. So if you like to bake and you like camera, I mean, they have lenses, they have tripods, all kinds of different, all these little interesting things. And I think that
they have
like
piggy banks, for God's sakes.
Yeah,
camera piggy bank, but it's pretty cool.
If this exercise was a game of top trumps, he's just pulled out the plane that's got the 100-foot wingspan and the biggest engines, bastard.
Yeah, but I actually did my homework.
Yeah, me too. You get
bugger.
But is that? Yeah, but Chris has got an entire store here.
Yeah,
crap.
Yeah,
a fun crap. This is cool stuff. Is this your main pick, Chris? Go on.
well, and the thing I was going to say about it is, you if you have someone who loves photography, you should be able to find them a gift in this store.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, there's no question that I've got the shot glasses, the little DSLR lens shot glasses.
Seen those.
Uh-huh. I've never used them.
But they are cool, aren't they?
No, they're in the cupboard.
They look like little L-series
awesome.
Lenses.
They do. They're awesome, but I've never used them. Just bought them.
I'm going to get the camera table dolly. That looks cool.
They're also not good because they're black as well. So when you drink, you can't see what you're drinking.
Maybe that's good.
It could be Rohypnol.
God. That's cool. Cool. Is this your only pick, Chris?
It's enough.
It's a whole store.
Gimp.
So. It's never enough for Kyle.
27,000
items. This is enough, actually. This is perfect, actually. It gives me some ideas, actually, for stocking stuffers.
Yeah, but you'll never get it in time for next Christmas, mate, let alone this one.
No, next Christmas, yeah. Oh, come on.
You'd be better off getting it shipped to my house and picking it up when you're over for the bash next year.
Actually, that's probably true. That's a good idea.
It could get out of shot glasses just for you.
Hey, there's the special occasion.
You and your turn.
My turn. My present for myself is a Canon EOS 1DX. Thank you very much, Santa. And also coming with it and linked to it is the Canon EF 400mm 2.8 lens. But that's that's about 12 grand right there. No, maybe more, actually. 15.
Where are you and the kids going to live after you have to sell your house?
Yeah, that's about 15 grand in those two picks straight alone. So I don't think I'm getting those Christmas.
It's only a third mortgage, right? It's only a third mortgage. Sure, you've looked into it.
Well, that lens alone is 9 grand. So there you go.
Okay, yeah. It's a heavy piece of glass. No problem.
It weighs a ton. Right, my other picks are, if you're buying for the kids or for your Auntie Maud or for your grandma who says, I want to just get something, take some pictures, I've got a new computer from PC World and it's 300 quid's worth of crap, and I just want to take some pictures of the kids at Christmas and that's it, then I would say your best purchases are two. Either get the Panasonic Lumix FX16, which is at Amazon at the moment for 94 quid. So that's pretty cool. And that's an awesome, awesome camera. I mean, even up to probably, I would buy that to shoot myself and stick in my pocket and take out and just pull out, grab a picture and walk on again. The other one is the Nikon Coolpix S3100, which is only, I think, 75 quid. And those are awesome buys. At that kind of price, they're not disposable, but, they're kind of given to the kids. And if they get a year's worth of use out of them, 2 years worth of use out of them, then great. Get them into the idea of doing some photography. For my mother, mm-hmm. I bought my mother the FS16 last year for Christmas because that's what she wanted. And I think it cost me £105 last year and it's still £95 now. So it's perfect. If you want to buy a DSLR, I'm not going to recommend Canon, unfortunately, because I'm sorry, but they've got a lot to do at the moment to get my recommendation back. D3100 definitely is a cheap one at $499. And if you push out the boat and go $599, you get the one that Alex recommended as well, the the 50-100 with both of those Kunwin lenses. And if you're looking for a prosumery thing that's just kind of, you know, I want to take some really nice pictures and do a lot more with them, have them in the manual manipulation and raw stuff, but I still don't want a huge DSLR, then it's the Fuji Finepix X100, I'm afraid. 745 quid at the moment on Amazon.
Beautiful camera.
It is.
What do you think? What do you think of the X10?
Well, I was going to say, actually, and if you're a tight git, buy the X10.
So if an X100, cool. If an X100 costs that, and an X10 costs that, Carl, are you going to get the X1?
No, I'm going to get the 3-1.
X1? No, mate.
I'm going to get the 3-1. Whatever one's free, that's the one.
Kyle, did you have a recommendation now that you're a photographer? iPhone 4?
Yeah, to actually get one of these cameras you guys recommended, because I would say my recommendation would probably be, I would have to say probably the new iPhone 4S. I don't have it yet. It's coming out here on the 16th, but we've seen pictures all over all of the net. Chris just said that, it's number one on Flickr now, which it is. Or just above the iPhone 4. The iPhone 4 takes great pictures, but you're seeing such a difference between the 4 and the 4S. If you're looking for a camera that you need on the go, you don't want to haul stuff. I mean, everybody knows on this show that I love my iPhone 4 camera. It just is the camera for me. And with the iPhone 4S, it's enough to me to upgrade. 8 megapixels. It's got better glass in it. The lens is better in it. I think the sensor is also better in it. Isn't that correct, Ewan?
Mm-hmm.
Talking out my butt right now. And to me, if you want a good cell phone camera on the market,
we're
right
a
now,
bunch of gits. We've all left him hanging there, look, trying to fill a dead air. Well done.
No, I was just thinking that Carl sort of proves my point about people that they have an iPhone 4 or something, and it actually makes them slightly more interested in photography.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a good point. I think even I just like to think that was true, even if it's not anyway. So,
yeah, well, it makes us feel more important, doesn't it? Other than being dinosaurs.
Deal of the day, you can get the FX16 with an 8 gig SD card and a case for £109. There you go.
Well, you can't go wrong, can you?
Superb.
Happy Christmas, by the way.
Well, we're back next week, aren't we?
I was going to say, are we going to
have 2 weeks to go yet?
Shows, right?
Last one's the 23rd.
You know Santa personally, Ewan. What did he say?
Oh, yes.
Is Christmas earlier this year?
Oh, no question, yes. Are we going to be here on the 23rd, chaps?
I don't see any reason why not.
I might do the whole day as Santa if my voice holds out, though.
Well, why would you want to do that?
Well, I do a good impression of Santa. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
He's going to be a bit busy getting
If he can be here instead of me, then fine. He's welcome to it.
You're going to have to get those shot. You're definitely going to have to get those shot glasses out.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yes, Santa without the beard.
And normally we do questions, so but I'm sure we're going to jump on questions next week. So send in your questions, bageltechphoto@gmail.com, and we will get to them as soon as possible. But this week we wanted to do a little something different. And great recommendations, guys. And I'm sorry, mine sucked and was put on the spot at the last minute. And I really thought I was going to get out of something. I didn't have questions.
It's all right. It's all right, mate. Half of us tried.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Forsman? You're not in that half.
I'm saying half of you tried.
Are you trying to say we only half tried?
Hey, the other half we made up really good stuff. I'll tell you that much.
You played the straight guy.
We got to thank our sponsor, who's sitting there with his hands on his face right now, probably, uk2.net. BageltechNews.com, please head on over there. Please use the click-through uk2.net. Check them out. Great web hosting. Great deals going on over there all the time. It just because there's not something on the homepage doesn't mean they're not going to offer you a great price on web hosting, VPS servers, these kind of things. We still have the code, correct, Ewan? It's BagelTech. Get 10% off.
15% off for BagelTech and BagelDNS to get rid of the domain management charge.
Sweet, sweet deals. And but you've got to use the click-through over at Bagel Tech News. BagelTechNews.com, click-through, UK2.net, Bagel Tech, the code, 15% off. Couldn't be easier.
We've also got a huge competition. The rummage in Santa's sack.
Oh!
So all you've got to do is send us an email saying Santa's sack on it, or I want to rummage in Santa's sack, and see what comes up. And on the 23rd, on the shows, we're going to draw out prizes. We've got a 1 terabyte internal drive to give away that fits into the new MacBook Pros. We've got... 3 licenses to give away for Snagit, and we've got 3 licenses away to give away for the new Camtasia as well as. And I think we're going to have a Nintendo 3DS to give out as well. So that's the rummaging Santa's sack. Wow. All you've got to do is send your email address in, and we'll put all of the email addresses in Santa's sack, and Santa will have a rummage on the show. And whoever wins is going to get pulled out. And because we've got so many prizes, we're going to give away on every single show. There you go.
Hell, and if you're unlucky, drive. You'll win a load of these little shot glasses, right? Yeah. And they look camera lenses.
If you're unlucky, you're going to get spam off me for the next 2 years.
For that terabyte hard drive, I'd hold Santa's sack all day.
Jolly good. And I'd let you.
Oh, I know, Santa. God, do I know. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo. Before we head on out of here, we've got to let you know where you can get a hold of all of these fine gentlemen, all these pros on our panel. We'll start off with Chris Forsman. Chris, Oprah Land, where can we get a hold of you?
In Oprah Land.
Cool.
Now, I'm a regular contributor to Ars Technica, so you can read my work over there at arstechnica.com. And I'm also on Twitter. Sometimes it seems like 24/7. But you can reach me there at ForzMac.
You're even tweeting when you don't even know you're tweeting.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's awesome. Insomnia, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
No.
Ewan, where can we get a hold of you?
I'm at ewanrankin.co.uk for commercial photography work, or you can find me on Twitter at Bageltech News or at ewanrankin. And Alex tomorrow is going on his photo walk, don't forget, Alex.
Yeah, no, I completely forgot.
With Russ. And all the
We're all going to be there. We're all going to be freezing cold, getting arrested, taking
you're
pictures.
You're
going
to be in the pub drinking, you lying kids.
I've got to start off somewhere. I have got an idea of something that might actually be quite interesting. So if it works, we'll put it up on Bagel Tech in a couple of weeks.
And we're going to try and do something really special next summer, aren't we?
Oh, we're going to do something so special you won't believe it.
If you're a photographer, you're going to want to come on this. It's going to cost you money, but you're going to want to come on it. And it's a very, very special thing. But we can't tell you about it until he's organised it. So,
yeah, sorry. It's a once in a lifetime.
It's a backstage pass. That's all we can say.
Mm-hmm. Right now, it's just an idea, isn't it?
He's already talked to the people about it, and it's a potential goer, but it's effectively, in inverted commas, a backstage pass to somewhere extremely special in London. If you're a photographer, you will be in your element. And if you wrote on my article telling me what a tosser I am, you ain't coming.
That isn't Santa. That's purely Ewan. Alex, before we head out, before Ewan keeps talking over you, where can we get a hold of you?
Yeah, just so we're not late for Mac and it's not my fault for a change, you can get me at Alex G. Fox on Twitter. Or actually, go for that Google Plus. We're having a good time on that lately.
Yeah.
So look, I think I'm Alex G. Fox on that as well. Look up the Bagel Tech Lock on Google Plus, and we're always hanging out. Have a chat.
We'll have a hangout after Mac.
Exactly. Yeah, have a chat.
If I can get my stupid mic to work.
No, it's on
everyone but Kyle anyway.
No, it's on. No, the mic is on now. It didn't work with Google Plus the other day. I don't know. But I do love Google Plus too. If you guys want to add me on there, you can. Kyle Swagger, Google Plus, or Twitter at Kyle Swagger or KyleSwagger.com. We will be back, like we said, next week with a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about. Shot glasses and all. We hope you will be here with us.
Shooters.
Thanks for tuning in. Woo-hoo, Shooters. This week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo.
Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.